The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
But I didn't know who I was at the time, so I went full blown. I mean, selling drugs, got arrested, in and out of psych wards, in and out of rehab. Very destructive, you know. When I did drugs and drank, it was all or nothing. It wasn't like I'm gonna have a couple beers. It was, I'm going to basically self-destruct.
Yeah. Caitlin Hawke became pregnant during this destructive time. Hear how God redeemed her story, next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robison. Tammy Trent is with me, and I'm excited, Tammy, because I don't know if you missed the program with Nancy Alcorn, you can always go catch that at lifetoday.org. But Nancy laid out Mercy Multiplied, which is a wonderful ministry that Life Outreach supports, you support when you support Rescue Life. And it really has made such an impact, and you get to hear one of those stories today. Caitlin Hawke is with us, and I don't know where you're at. In your life, but if you think that things are difficult, that things are hopeless for you, maybe a loved one, you're going to learn today that it's never hopeless with Christ. So glad you're here, ladies. Wonderful to have you here, Caitlin.
Thank you so much for having us on.
And Nancy, thanks for following up my request last time.
Absolutely.
It's like we had this planned.
Yes, like we had it planned.
So. Tammy, we heard some amazing things about lives changed.
Yeah.
And I'm excited we get to hear one today.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any better way to start than to say, Caitlin, tell us your story. I know it's magnificent.
So, what I want to say first is my story is one of absolute redemption, and I know that redemption only comes from Jesus. So to anyone out there that is feeling, like he was saying, hopeless, at the end of their rope, I really hope that today you hear of his ability to restore and redeem a broken life. Mm. Growing up, I came from, a family that went to church every Sunday, Wednesday, very involved in our church. I was very involved in sports as a young girl. I was nationally ranked in the top 100, sponsored at a young age, but really started to build this identity out of performance and out of, doing well and achieving. And so I found myself in this cycle of performance-based love. So, by the age of 12, or by the age of actually 13, I started experimenting with sexual immorality, alcohol. Fast forward to by the age of 15, I was in full-blown, blackout drunk, just trying any way I could to feel loved and to escape the pain that I was feeling inside of feeling like I was rejected and abandoned. I really started looking to men to find validation and a sense of worth in myself. So I gave my body to multiple men and would end up empty-handed at the end of that every time. You feel so used and so thrown away. And so that just cycle of rebellion and that cycle of shame and ended me up going into a rehab during high school for an entire year. I finished that program. It was great for the time because honestly, I was at a point where I wasn't going to school. My parents thought she's either going to kill herself or someone else, driving drunk. And so they were just scared as parents, And I just kind of at this point just started to feel like I'm invincible, like no consequences for actions, kind of this whole, like, I'm just gonna skate through life and try to numb the pain the best I can. Well, that all came to a head when I was around the age of 17, 18, and 19. I actually ended up overdosing on pain pills. Sorry, just as a parent now, I'm thinking back to all my parents' experience, but I overdosed on pain pills and my parents found me passed out in our entryway and had to take me to the hospital, was in intensive care, wasn't expected to, make it through. And so they were just at the end of their rope as well. And so this continued until I reached the age of 19. At the age of 19, I ended up getting pregnant and I was in a, pretty emotionally abusive relationship at the time. And so I found out I was actually pregnant with twins and My mom went with me to the sonogram because the birth father wasn't involved. Again, feeling just a lot of shame and a lot of rejection and abandonment at this point because I had put my hope in a person. Mm-hmm. And so during that process, I'll be honest with you guys, you know, and to anyone out there that's listening that may be pregnant and still struggling with even wanting to live themselves, I know that feeling very well. And it's hard to think about lives inside of you when you yourself right. are suicidal and right. trying to numb pain. So I found myself pregnant, and it was around 5 months that I was pregnant that I was actually still partying, and I ended up at a local college. I just left a party, 5 a.m, 5 months pregnant, and I was sitting in my friend's car in that parking lot, and I remember crying out to the Lord saying, I need help. Yeah. I cannot stay and live the same life I've been living. I cannot stay in this condition. I don't know how to get help at this point, but I just know I need help, and I cried out to the Lord. Fast forward, I told my friend to take me home at that moment, and I said, I need to tell my parents, you know, what's going on and that I need help. Woke my mom up at 5 a.m. and said, I want to go to a place called Mercy Ministries. I know that's where, and at the time it was Mercy Ministries, yeah. and now it's Mercy Multiplied. Yeah. Because one of my friends, a family friend, actually had gone through the program, and I had seen the absolute transformation in her life. And I was like, I see the power of God in her life, and what she has, I want, and I know it's possible. So fast.
We want to get there. I got to ask a couple questions because,
yes,
I mean, this is not normal teenage rebellion. Was this just extreme teenage rebellion, or was there some trauma that happened early that kind of set you on this path?
I'm glad you asked that. It was very extreme rebellion. Right. I think the Lord has given me a very strong personality by nature, and I think the enemy really took advantage of that with the gifts that I carried, and to, you know, be like that bondage breaker for other people and to not put up with falsehood. Like, those are things God put in me, but I didn't know who I was at the time, so I went full blown. I mean, selling drugs, got arrested, in and out of psych wards, in and out of rehab. Very destructive, you know. When I did drugs and drank, it was all or nothing. It wasn't like I'm going to have a couple beers. It was I'm going to basically self-destruct.
Yeah.
So, yes. So fast forward, right. you know, I wake my mom up at 5 a.m. and I told her, you know, I want to go to Mercy Multiplied, and I will never forget this night. I feel like this is where the Lord placed his hand on me, and I started heading in a different direction, spiritually speaking. She said, Lord, you heard her. She is crying out for mercy. We ask you to have mercy on her. Well, we called Mercy Multiplied the next day, and they said, you know, well, there's 700 girls, because at this time there were like 700 girls in this waiting list.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, they're like, it could be up to a year before she can get in because, you know, it's a long waiting list. And my mom, she hung up the phone and she said, God can make a way where there is no way. And she was like, there are 3 lives at stake. And she said, we're going to pray that he will open a door. Mm. She prayed that. And at that point, you know, I was kind of just hopeless. So I'm like, okay. Next day they called us and they said, you know, we got to get the paperwork in order. The Lord has made it clear she is supposed to be here. A girl has given up her bed for her. Mm. This girl slept on an air mattress so that I could have a bed. Mm. Sorry. And at that point, like, even if it was a small glimpse at that point, I saw God that can make a way where no human can, where that will step in for you when you cry out to him in a place of humility and brokenness. Went to Mercy Multiplied, and that ministry single-handedly changed my life because they spoke on identity in Christ, who you are, who God made you to be. And I heard these truths and they started replacing these lies I had been bound by for years. And so that I think I've stayed there for 7 months, 7 to 8 months was the time frame I stayed there. And I ended up choosing a family to place my twins for adoption with. And the experience at Mercy was nothing but love, unconditional love, support in my decision. And I felt like the entire time I was going through this adoption process, I was being carried by the arms of love himself through those that minister at Mercy Multiplied and their staff. And I got to be with the family at the hospital when I placed my twins for adoption. And I can say this, that God gave me a supernatural grace during that time period. You know, and one thing I want to mention is I did have a lot of friends try to convince me to have an abortion. And there was something within my spirit that was like, just because you have made these choices, you don't need to make a choice for someone else with their life when it comes to their life.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
I was adopted at birth.
Yes, so was I, yes.
So I appreciate mothers in difficult positions giving children like us a chance at life.
Yes, yes. And you know, to anyone out there listening that may be pregnant or maybe considering going to Mercy Multiplied, like, it is not easy being a woman and being pregnant without the father going to sonograms. It isn't easy, but I can tell you from someone that walked through that season of life and came out on the other side, God breaks the shame off of that. And he brings about a double portion of glory in the midst of that. And I have seen nothing but fruitfulness from that season. And I got to see another family experience two amazing lives that they're now getting to be the parents of and watching them grow and being nurtured.
Incredible.
And so,
Caitlin, I think one of the things that moves me so much about your testimony is just when we hit rock bottom.
Yes.
Any one of us, when we get to that place and we just feel so like lost, stuck, trapped, without, unseen, unworthy, how God reveals himself, how he shows up. And in your story, there were so many, I see so many nuggets where God kept showing up for you, even
yes.
the time when you just like finally hit, said, God, I need you, Jesus. I
yes.
need help. It's
yes.
like sometimes the only prayer we can pray is, I need help.
Yes.
And I don't even know what it looks like.
Yes.
But God made a way. Your mom prayed over you. She stayed faithful, it sounds like, consistent.
Yes.
Praying for mercy over your life.
Yes.
And then how God showed up again and made a way.
Yes.
Where it seemed impossible that
yes.
there would be no way. That's
yes.
the kind of God we serve constantly.
Yes.
If we just look, we will find him and we will find the places where he makes a way.
Yes.
Was there ever a time when you finally got into Mercy Multiplied that you felt ever like, I don't want to be here? Like, this isn't real. What was that, if you ever went through that, what was
right.
that like and what made you stay?
So definitely, you know, you hit hard times because especially for someone like me and other girls that have been on substances your whole life and not dealt with the pain behind the reasons why you were doing what you're doing, that pain comes up and it makes you want to run.
Right.
Because, you know, for me, when those moments hit where I felt like, I don't want to feel this or I'm done.
Yeah.
I just recall that the Lord would always, there was always someone or something that I knew that if I quit, I would be giving up, not my freedom because I was free in Christ, but I would be giving myself a disservice by not finishing something that I began. And I was so used to doing that in life. Mm-hmm. And I think at that point it was like, you're going to either do something hard and get the healing and stick it out, or you're going to keep running.
Right.
But there's a consequence for quitting something like that. And the consequence is you don't get to see yourself succeed in the way that God wants you to see yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Nancy, what did you see when Caitlin walked in the door?
I saw a young woman broken, but also with great courage. And when a young woman walks through the doors, especially facing an unplanned pregnancy, the first thing we do is say, God's not mad at you. Mm-hmm. He loves you. He's proud of you, because when our government and even a lot of churches in America say abortion is the answer, you have gone against that and you've chosen life for your child. And God wants you to know that he honors you. Mm-hmm. And so just a way to kind of lift that shame and guilt
yeah.
off of them right away and encourage
yeah.
them in that process. And I just want to say this in case we run out of time. You know, that was over 15 years ago, around 15, a little more than that, and I have been able to watch her stay committed to Christ, see her set other people free, meet and marry a handsome guy and has a great family with two children, and she's an entrepreneur, owns her own business that she started. So I'm just like, you go, girl. You know, she's amazing to me. She
Thank
is.
Thank you. I feel the same about you, so.
Caitlin, I watched a video of you last night. I told you a couple times.
Yes.
I cried.
Oh.
It's your testimony. It's just so powerful. I think the way God redeems and transforms a life that is willing, that wants to put in the hard work, because I think it's hard work to want to heal, to want to change your life
right.
and to change your mindset. It takes
right.
work.
Right.
You stuck it out.
Yes.
One thing that I took away from that video was the time when you had a revelation of truth in your life. I loved it. I wrote it down for me, and I'm going to put it on a sticky note.
Yes.
And this is what you had said, to write down the lies you believe, counteract it with truth, yes, and then meditate on it, pray, yes, over it. I think that's a daily decision, yes, don't you?
Yes, you hit the nail on the head. And, you know, I lead a recovery group right now at our church with people that have been former addicts or struggled in that way. And one of the things I told them that was a game changer for me at Mercy Multiplied was when I opened the Bible and I read John 8:31-32. You are truly my disciples if you abide in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I remember distinctly reading that in that bedroom. And I remember the Lord telling me, I want you to write out everything you're believing right now, and I want you to put it up next to the word of God. If it doesn't align, it's from the accuser. It's not from me. I want you to break agreement with it.
That's right.
And I will tell you, I love where you said it's a daily thing. Mm-hmm. It is a daily battle. And I will tell you this. There are people that have had similar opportunities and could be just where I'm at in life. Mm-hmm. But I have sadly watched some of them not continue, right, to choose to do the hard thing. And that for me is heartbreaking, because I know, like you said, we're in a daily battle.
Right.
You don't just take off your armor. You keep it on, and you keep your mind set on things that are true and of good report.
Yes.
So
stay guarded, stay guarded. Because I think once we've actually let our guard down, to me, I've always felt like when I let my guard down and think, I'm over this, I'm strong enough on my own, that is exactly when the enemy comes in and says, I got her. This is perfect.
Yes.
Her guard is down.
Yes.
Recovery also is a process.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes,
and
it is.
I think people need to know that. Mm-hmm. But as someone who's been through it, how does that process, because we talk about it being hard, I don't want to scare people away, also recognize it's not easy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But what did that journey to the healthy place that you're at kind of now initially look like? Kind of how long was it?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because this is something that my sister-in-law and I were talking about. It is definitely a process. And when I got out of Mercy Multiplied, you know, prior to Mercy, I had never created a schedule for myself. I had never gone to the grocery store by myself. I had never attended class in high school. I would just skip, or I was high or drunk. So for me, I recall when I stepped out of Mercy Multiplied, I had to learn to do real life. Mm-hmm. And it started really small. I had to start taking baby steps. So for me, and what I have taught in some wellness classes I used to teach was, you know, pick one thing at a time. For me, it was taking a little trash out of my car every day. That was hard for me because I had not exercised self-discipline.
Wow.
So having an apartment to myself, so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But I heard the Lord tell me, you're learning to crawl. You don't need to overhaul your life in one day. At that point, I was frustrated because I was like, I should be in college like my friends, you know?
Right.
Well, college came on later for me. By the age of 24 is when I started college, and I started taking about 2 classes at a time so I could get used to that load. And at that point, that's when I started to strengthen that muscle of self-discipline. Mm. The other thing the Lord incorporated into my life that began to make me whole was fitness. And I started doing 1 or 2 workouts a week. I'll tell you this though, when I first started trying, I was eating cheeseburgers and cheese tots, and I would drive to the gym, and I would turn back around and wouldn't even go in the gym.
Get your tots.
Right. I was like, cheese tots, here I come. The Lord would not let me out of the process because he says when he begins a good work, he'll finish it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it says he gives you the desire and the power to do his will. He gives you the desire and the power. So over time, I was able to exercise that muscle of self-discipline to the point to where I work out 4 to 5 times a week now, and it's just second nature.
Wow.
Before, I'd get to that parking lot and be like, I don't think I can do this. I'm turning back around. So to anyone out there that's at the beginning phases, you know, don't get discouraged, because this is seed planting you're talking about. You don't get a harvest overnight. This took a couple years for me to be able to go to college. I graduated with honors and then got into law school. Like, these were things that took time.
Incredible.
Literally took a while, and it felt very uncomfortable. And the one thing I also really want to say is, do hard things. Do not back down when it starts to get tough and you start to feel like you're shaking and you're nervous and you're intimidated. I was super intimidated by people in college. I was like, they have it together and I barely have my car keys, you know? But I just kept showing up and kept asking the Lord to strengthen me in the midst of it.
Worth it?
100% worth it. I will never go back to the way I was.
When you see her life, Nancy?
Wow.
Worth it?
when I see her life, I say to the Lord, I will never retire. I'm doing this. I love what I get to do. Exactly. I am so passionate about transformed lives. I love this girl. Yes. I have so many like her out there, and they just blow me away. Mm. And I tell them, you're going to do greater things than I ever did. Mm. And I believe that.
Mm. Yeah. We should not grow weary in doing good.
That's right.
And that's why Life Outreach continues to support Mercy Multiplied.
Yes.
And that's why we continue many outreaches around the world. We are doing good, and it is changing lives, and we're able to do it because of you. And there's another one right now that I want you to see, because you will see how you can make a difference in someone's life immediately. Mm-hmm. And it changes the future, gives them a hope and a future in life. So watch this.
As a widow, suffering isn't something I've escaped in life. Oh, there was a day I might have gone to some lengths to avoid it, but I now know that part of my purpose is to do what I can to breathe hope into those who are suffering. But here, walking through this clinic, it's everywhere I turn in the horrific form of starvation. Part of me wants to run from this scene, but the other, to run for help. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. This mother, Shakira, her heart is sick because she's losing hope for her little princess, Louisa, a precious 16-month-old girl so severely malnourished, she weighs a mere 7 pounds. My life verse is Jeremiah 29:11. It's breathed life into me countless times. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I think sometimes we forget it applies to these precious children too.
It's so critical for us to respond, to not hesitate, to not think that somebody else is going to take care of this need. You can be the difference today in the life of this family, in the life of hundreds of thousands of families.
I can't help but watch that today and think back on that moment when I was there and wondering if she made it, if she survived. I also think, did I do enough? Did I run for help? Did I help the other child in the bed next to her? Did I tell the world about this great need that I saw? Did I do it effectively? Did we make a difference? Did we come together? Did we do something with the suffering that we saw? I'm here again with you today to tell you that the need is still great. It's everywhere. And they're just asking, will somebody run for help? Will somebody get us some help? It doesn't take a lot. It just takes a little bit of sacrificing on our part to change the life of 1, 2, 300. Would you be that help today? I'm running to you. I'm asking you if you wouldn't mind helping us today, helping these little children. We can bring them life. We know how to do it. We have an effective plan in place, but we need your help. So would you go online today? Would you make a call to us? And make the best gift you possibly could and say, I want to be the one to run with you, Tammy. I want to run with Life Outreach International. I want to make that difference today. Randy, there's so many ways that we can do this together as a team.
Yes, and fortunately over the years, we've become very efficient at doing this. We know the best practices. We know how to get to the places and identify the needs. So much so that a gift of $1,000 right now would actually feed 100 children for the next 3 months. Yeah. That is the difference between life and death for many of these children. Now, I understand $1,000 may not be your gift level. It may be higher, and if you can do that, we would ask you to do that. But $30, $50, or $100 will help feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next several months. It's really incredible to think, Tammy, that a gift so simple could change a life in such a profound way.
Absolutely.
But that's what it does. But you know what it takes? It takes you and I.
Yes.
And it takes all of you guys watching to say, I want to be a part of that. Will you be a part of this today? Will you be a part of mission feeding, a part of fighting malnutrition, a part of extending a hand of love to someone that you don't even know? Someone that will ask, who are these people? Why are they doing this? And we can say, it's the love of God in action.
Amen.
I'm asking you to take action right now, today. Make the best gift you can. Whatever God puts on your heart. Mm. Go to the phones, go online, and do it now.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you 365 days of courage. Filled with scriptures and words of encouragement, this daily devotional will give you the confidence that comes from knowing how God sees you. Take courage in Christ's love and be ready to conquer each day. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessing Framed Art. This beautiful wall art will grace your home or office and serve as a daily reminder of God's blessing and kindness over your family. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Every single day, we are giving life, and it's because of you. So I pray you'll just give the best gift you can and know that you will be saving lives. Nancy, Caitlin, so good. Thank you for your testimony, for your dedication. We just appreciate it. It's
wonderful.
Thank
you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Life-changing, life-giving. I pray that God keeps opening massive, massive doors for you.
Thank you.
What a voice, what a life.
Thank you.
Just love you, and I'm so glad you kept fighting. Keep fighting every day.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time on Life Today.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Join James and Betty as they open up about the early years and celebrate 60 years of marriage and ministry next week on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.